Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life, share your prayer requests or pray for others, read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store. This morning I'm going to talk on the topic of knowing the will of God, or understanding the will of God. Understanding the will of God. It's a big one, isn't it? Understanding. How do I understand the will of God for my life? Well, I hope that through today, you might have a deeper understanding of how to know, how to walk in the will of God. John 4 and 34, and this is Jesus speaking, and he says this, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." My food. So Jesus is saying the thing that sustains me, the thing that nourishes me, the thing that energizes me is doing the will of my Father. On another occasion, he said this in John 5 and 30, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but to please him who sent me." So there's a great lesson there for us today. Jesus lived by one criteria, and the criteria was this: it's not what pleases me that's important, it's what pleases the Father that's important. John 6 and 38, again, Jesus' words, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." John 8 and 29, "The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." And in the words of Jesus, we find this reoccurring theme that it's not about me. I do his will. I don't please myself. I only do the things that please my Father. And yet this whole thought of knowing the will of God is it's a common thing. We ask it, we wrestle with it often as we press into God. It's one of the greatest mysteries, or I think perceived mysteries, of the Christian walk. It's one of the questions that I'm often asked when I sit with young guys and mentor young guys. How do I know the will of God for my life? Well, everybody say with me these words: it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. And I hope that through today you will come to understand that. You know, many people are actually reluctant to surrender to God. Many people are actually reluctant to say, "God, I just want to be consumed by you. I want you to be the singular focus of my life. I want you to guide me and to direct me." We struggle to surrender to God's will because some people seem to think that if we did that, God's going to make me do something that I don't want to do. For example, if I said to God, "Well, God, what job would you like me to have?" We seem to feel that when we ask questions like that of God, that his response would be to us, "Well, what's the thing you would least like to do?" And for me, it would be a plumber or a podiatrist. My apologies to the podiatrists that are in the house this morning. But we seem to feel that God would then say, "Well, isn't that funny? Because the very thing that I want you to be is to be a plumber." And there's plumbers in the house as well, so my apologies there to you as well. But we just seem to have this thought that God is this cosmic, or, "Well, God, show me who you want me to marry. Well, come and have a look. Here's an eHarmony profile." Really, God, that's it? And we seem to think that God's job is to make my life miserable and unhappy, and that his will for my life, as much as I know that that's important, it's going to be second best for me because God's going to take all the fun out of life. Friends, when we have that kind of fear about God, we simply do not know God well enough.
Romans 12 and 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. He says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Grab a hold of this. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, God's will for your life is good, it's pleasing and it's perfect. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Psalm 37 and 4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourselves in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's a lot of prosperity preachers who totally misrepresent that verse. It's not meaning that God will give you riches and a 7 Series BMW. It's meaning if you delight yourself in God, the desires that he places in your heart will be God-birthed desires. Delight yourself in him and he will place the right desires in your heart. So if a young guy comes and talks to me and says, you know, I'm really struggling to know what God's will is for my life and my future. And if I said to him, well, is there something you'd like for your future? Well, I'd love to be a pilot. Well, why don't you be a pilot then? Well, I don't know, because I think that's what I want. I don't think it's what God wants. Well, how do you know what God wants? Well, I don't know. I just know I want to be a pilot, but I have a feeling that God doesn't want me to be a pilot. Why would you think that? Well, because I wanted to be a pilot even before I was a Christian. So I think that's just me, not God. Friends, listen. God was interested in you and interested in your life and interested in your future way before you even knew about Jesus. It says of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 and 4, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Paul in another scripture says, I was set apart from birth as an apostle. You see, God doesn't just become interested in you when you give your heart to Jesus. He is interested in you from the moment you were born. In fact, he's interested in you before you were born. And maybe for a guy who says, I want to be a pilot, and that's been in my heart ever since I was a little kid, it's because God placed that desire in your heart. It's not rocket science. How do I know who I should marry? Oh God, how do I know who I should marry? Well, maybe you'll like them for a start. It's not rocket science. Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. So again, if you're abiding in him, he's going to place the right desires in your heart. And you've got to trust that. I've never met anybody who says, this is my wife, don't really like her. I don't like the way she looks. I hate the sound of her voice and I cannot stand spending time with her. But I married her last week out of sheer obedience to God. Now, that doesn't happen. Friends, we should never, ever, ever be scared of surrendering to the will of God. Because in fact, I'll go to the opposite end of the pendulum swing and suggest that to actually step outside of the will of God, if you are a born-again Christian pursuing God, to actually step outside of the will of God is a rather difficult thing to do, because it means you've got to be deliberately rebelling against him. Because there's nothing easier than living according to the will of God. It's not rocket science. Proverbs 3 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Another translation says he will direct your path. And directing your path is God's end of the deal. acknowledging him in all your ways is your end of the deal. So if you acknowledge him in all your ways, if you surrender fully to him, the promise, the outworking of that is God will direct your steps. It is one of the roles that God promises to undertake when he comes to occupy our lives as Lord. First of all, he forgives you. He cleanses you. He gives you then the gift of his Holy Spirit to empower you to live the life he wants you to live. And one of the things that he is committed to doing in your life is to directing your path. And again, I'll say, if you are a Christian living totally in surrender to God and in submission to Jesus as your Lord, to move out of the will of God is actually a really, really hard thing to do. Because again, it means you've got to deliberately disobey him. In three weeks today, I'll actually be in Malaysia ministering in a church called Agape. It's a large Assemblies of God church there. And then I stay on and am part of the Global Leadership Summit in Kuala Lumpur. How do I know it's the will of God for me to go there in 3 weeks? Well, I got an email with an invitation. The invitation fitted in with my travel itinerary. I said to Kerry, here's an invite. How's that fit around what's happening in family life? And it seemed good, so I said yes. I got to be honest, I didn't even pray about it. I didn't get down on my knees and say, Lord, I beseech thee, dost thou wantest me to go to Kuala Lumpur? Hey, I heard the voice of God. That was just Michael. Do not confuse the two. If it's wrong, God would have closed the door. Did I get any special revelation? No, I didn't. Listen to this, Isaiah 30 and 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You know why so many Christians get stuck on this stuff and never progress in God? Because they haven't learned about God, that he's placed desires in your heart, and you just got to get on and live your life and trust that God is directing your path. But so many people stop dead because they're waiting God not to be a voice from behind, but a voice in front saying, come on, come on, Johnny, you can do it. Just put that one step in front of the other and come on, I'm here, I'll catch you if you fall. It's not the way God promises to work in our lives. He has put his Holy Spirit within us, and we've got to learn to make bold decisions of faith, acknowledging that I'm living my life in total surrender to Jesus, acknowledging that God has placed right desires in my heart, and I'm just going to get out there and go for it in Jesus' name, risk making some mistakes, but be attuned to a voice from behind saying, no, this is the way, walk in it. Are you with me this morning? And I want in this church for there to be room for people to make mistakes because they're moving forward, not waiting for the promise of something that is an unrealistic expectation from the perspective of God's word in regards to how God guides and directs us. You have his Holy Spirit. That's all the direction you need. We've got to tune into that and trust that what God does in here and what God places in here and the opportunities that he presents, it is his will, instead of sitting back going, I just don't know if it's the will of God or not. We've got to discover what bold faith is and trust the voice of the Holy Spirit in here. Interesting, we see this in the Apostle Paul's life. And he goes out on his missionary journeys. And this guy has passion, he has zeal, he has vision, he has excitement, you know. And you see what God's done in his life, and now he's just this on fire missionary. We got an interesting account on his second missionary journey in Acts 16. Having been kept from the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God called us to preach the gospel to them. We've got to unpack this, because this speaks a lot to the how do I know the will of God for my life and how God directs. Paul says, you know what? Let's go to Asia. They need the gospel. Absolutely. So off they go, and the Spirit said, no. Okay, that's interesting. Well, let's go to Bithynia then, because they need the gospel. Off they go. Spirit said, no. Voice from behind, no. Then he has this vision of a man from Macedonia, and they concluded, okay, that's where God is opening the door. You've got to get a hold of this. The only time God gave to Paul specific instructions about what his will was when they were about to go wrong. And he said, no. Asia? No. Bithynia? No. Paul, you're all confused. Go to sleep. Here's a vision. And I love this. Friends, we'll never, ever, ever be 100% sure about the will of God until we're about 70% sure and then step out in faith. And that's where it just takes some incredible boldness and obedience just to do what God has placed in my heart to do. But having said that, let me tell you, 90% of the will of God you've got in your hand if you own a Bible. Because 90% of the will of God is actually the general will of God for every Christian. How we need to be, how we need to respond, how we need to love, how we need to be the light of Christ in our community, how we need to be the hands and the feet of God. That's in the will of God. That's His general will for every Christian. But then His personal will, the other 10%, that will become very, very clear when you start living according to the other 90%. I hope that makes sense. Because as we learn to live in obedience to His general will, we can trust Him because He has promised that He will guide us in His specific will for us as individuals. And friends, here it is. You can know that you're in the will of God, not because you have circumstantial evidence or an incredible spiritual revelation. You can know that you're in the will of God simply because you have surrendered fully to Him and you seek Him daily. He has promised then to direct your ways if we acknowledge Him in all that we do. It's not rocket science. Which means you can have the confidence to wake up in the morning and say, God, I thank you for this day. Guide me in your will today. And we just get on and live life as Spirit-filled followers of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit will bring the conviction about where we should be going and what we should be doing. Just get on and live your life knowing that you have the Spirit of Jesus within you. So how do I know the will of God for my life? Are you surrendering to God? God, today I give my life to you. You are the Lord of my life. I'm discovering your general will for me as I just immerse myself in your word. But God, in prayer I surrender to you. Guide my steps today. Sometimes we get so caught up in this issue of trying to discern the will of God that we over-spiritualize it to the point that we think, we'll never get there. Because to be walking in the will of God, you know, we have this parameter or this benchmark. It's got nothing to do with that. Some people wake up in the morning and they so spiritualize activity that they go, well, Lord, I have to go down Raby Street today. And I beseech thee, should I walk on the left side or the right side? Because there may be somebody that would have me encounter that I can share the love of God with. And they walk down the right side, having discerned that that's what the Holy Spirit has said to them. They get to the end of the street, not having met anybody. And they feel guilty because they've somehow grieved the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have walked down the left side. I didn't hear your voice. Don't over-spiritualize this stuff. Just live your life to the glory of God and He will direct your path. And there you have the confidence that I'm living every day in His will. Can I hear an amen this morning? I read a book years ago by Yonggi Cho and it was great. He had this one piece in there. I think I've shared this before. But he made the admission that he used to over-spiritualize everything to the point where of a Sunday morning he'd put his best suit on and he would ask God what color tie he should wear. And he said, that's how over-spiritual I was. God, should I wear the red tie or should I wear the blue tie? And he said, one day I clearly heard the voice of God saying, choose yourself, I'm your father, not your mother. And I love that. Friends, the Bible never instructs me to ask God to guide me. I'll say that again. The Bible never tells me to ask God to guide me. I can assume that He will. I can assume that He will. In the same way, I don't wake up every morning asking God to take me to heaven when I die. I don't need to ask that question because that question was answered when I gave my heart to Jesus. I can assume that I will, so I don't have to ask about that. And because the Spirit of God lives in me, it's that guarantees my future. So I don't have to wake up in a sweat every morning. Oh, Jesus, please, please, please take me to heaven when I die. Please take me to heaven when I die. It's actually, excuse the language, it's part of the package. It's part of the salvation package. And friends, so is His guidance. If you live every single day with an attitude of trust and obedience. Now, let me state this very, very clearly. Because for Kerry and I, there have been critical times in our life and ministry where we have had to stop and pause and pray and fast and seek the counsel of others around some very, very key, significant and strategic decisions in our lives and ministry. It's important and those things are incredibly important, but those times are the exception, not the general principle. Can I hear an amen? Friends, God works in us as a result of our trust in Him, where we say, God, You are my life, You are my power, You are my resource. But one of the struggles we sometimes have is knowing what's God and knowing what's me. Can I say, friends, the will of God is both. It's both God and you. God has a role to play and we have a role to play. We don't just sit back and wait for God to do something. Empowering us and equipping us and enabling us, that's God's responsibility. Our responsibility is obedience to what God is calling us to do. And God promises to empower us and to direct us as we live in obedience to Him. Now, a large number of us came here this morning in cars and you got cars parked outside. Hopefully they'll still be there when you leave this morning. In the car, under the bonnet, is an engine. Without an engine in your car, you would not have got here this morning. It is the engine that makes the car or gives the car the capacity to move forward. But in addition to that, it actually needs somebody with the skill and understanding to be able to sit in the driver's seat, to be able to turn on the ignition, to be able to put the car in gear, and to steer it down the road. So here's a question. What's making the car go? Is it the engine in the car or is it you? It's both. Ben Wilson's paying attention. Thank you. You see, the engine is the life of the car. It is the power of the car. It is the strength of the car. But the car needs somebody behind the wheel with the discipline of starting the car, putting it in the gear and steering it down the road. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But we don't sit back. We've got to learn to drive. And dependence on God and obedience to God are like two wings on an aeroplane. Dependence on God, obedience to God. In an aeroplane, which wing is more important? Ben got that one wrong. He wasn't paying attention. It's a silly question. And in our walk with Jesus, dependency upon God and obedience to God are as critical as two wings on an aeroplane. We trust who God is and we do what God says. And as we step out in obedience to what God says, we say, God, you have the right to govern my life. And as I just get on with my life as a spirit-filled, spirit-directed believer, I trust you that you are going to direct my life today. It's not rocket science. That my eyes will be open to whatever it is that you want me to be doing. And that I do that in a spirit of total dependency upon you, that I realize apart from you I can do nothing. That apart from you, I'm totally bankrupt. But I thank you that you are alive in me and I trust you and I obey you. And I thank you, God, that you promise that you will guide me and direct me in your will. It's not rocket science. Have we got it this morning? I'm going to invite the team to come back and I'm going to revisit that Romans passage that we looked at when we started. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So there we have the outcome. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, good, pleasing, and perfect will. What's the condition? Well, he says, number one, sacrifice. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. When you sacrifice something, it's no longer yours, is it? When you sacrifice it, you've let it go. You've given it to somebody else. You've totally, totally surrendered that thing. So sacrifice. Transformation. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing, and I'm thinking transformation. All I could think of was the old Transformer toys. They started out as a robot and transform into a car. In effect, that's kind of what God does with us, that he transforms us. Interesting, the form of the car, the form of the robot is still in there, but it gradually transforms into something else. God is in the business of transforming your life to represent something else, and that is the image of Jesus. And I praise God that that's an ongoing work. Do you look different today than the day you come to Jesus? I certainly hope you can say yes to that. Really, really interesting. I spent 10 years of my life playing in pubs and clubs. And in that period of my life, I certainly was not fully surrendered to Jesus. However, subsequently coming to that place of saying, Jesus, I just need you to be the Lord of my life, to guide me, to direct me, and God led us into ministry. And then I started touring as a gospel artist, and I can remember a few occasions where people turned up at a concert in a church out of curiosity because they'd seen something in the newspaper about Peter Shirley, the gospel artist, being in town. They came out of curiosity because they thought there can't be too many musicians that play the violin named Peter Shirley. It must be the same guy, but what's the gospel bit? And they came and the look on their face, and here's what they said. You're not the same guy. You're not the same guy. And I praise God for that. I've often said if I met the 21-year-old me, I wouldn't like him. Bless Kerry who persevered with that 21-year-old. And It's still a work in progress. But she fell in love with somebody that I wouldn't even like today. And hopefully she's still in love with him. But anyway, we'll have that discussion later. Because it's what God does. He transforms us more and more into the image of Jesus. And part of that process of transformation is this renewal of mind. That my understanding is different, my outlook is different, my perspective is different. And he changes and transforms us. And I'm so grateful to God for that process. That when we fully surrender to him, it's another thing he promises to do. And then we have the confidence to walk in his will and to walk in his purpose. We don't need to agonize over it. It's not rocket science. Just say, God, my life is yours. And then get on and live your life. Live your life boldly. Live your life trusting God, but give yourself some room to make mistakes. As your pastor, I want to give you some room to make mistakes. Because that's what part of learning to hear the voice of God is all about. And there'll be an occasion where God, you hear that voice from behind saying, no, 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 this is the way, walk in it. No, 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 that's the way, walk in it. But we've got to learn that. We're not going to learn those lessons if we just stand there with arms folded saying, well, God, you've got to guide me. God, you've got to guide me. God, I'm not moving until you guide me. And God's saying, just live your life for my glory because you have me in you. You've got a GPS within you and it's my Holy Spirit. And that is the key to living and understanding according to the will of God. Can I hear an amen this morning? Amen.